Correction does much, but encouragement does more. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, it is hard to be an encouragement to others if we ourselves are discouraged. And so, in the first two parts of his series, Ken has focused on the various ways we can be encouraged. Today, however, he moves from encouraging ourselves to focusing on encouraging others. Have you experienced the distress of discouragement? Well, if you have, it shouldn't be too difficult to imagine that others might be vulnerable to the same thing. In a moment, Ken brings us part three of The Power of Encouragement.
Hi there, everyone. I hope that you have been encouraged by listening to this series on the power of encouragement. We have considered what it means to be encouraged in the first two programs. Today, we are going to move on to consider what it means to be encouraging. The focus changes from encouraging ourselves to others. And our studies were mainly from the book of 1 Thessalonians and Hebrews, where we find recurring references to the term each other or one another in many of the verses that we are going to consider. If we have known from personal experience how easy and how often we can get discouraged, we should never underestimate the vulnerability of someone else to discouragement. So never take that for granted. But then the converse is also true. Do we realize how easy and how often we can be encouraging to others? And if we realize that, I'm sure that we will exercise encouragement more frequently. The first aspect that I would like to deal with is called motivation. This is the motivation to be encouraging to others. And for this, we will turn to the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, reading from verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I've read through this whole passage beginning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, all the way through to verse 18, because this is a defining passage regarding the Lord's coming for His church and all Christians at what is commonly referred to as the rapture. So that's the context of this passage. And it ends in verse 18 with these words, therefore comfort or encourage one another with these words. So it's important and necessary to know the context so that we understand why the therefore is there for. For the Christian, there is really nothing more encouraging and motivating than the eager expectation of the Lord's coming for His own at the rapture and being given new resurrection bodies. This is what Paul begins with in verse 13, that he doesn't want them to be ignorant concerning those who have died, lest they sorrow and be like others who have no hope. Because for believers, death is never the end. It is but the beginning of something far better and far more glorious. So for us to be truly encouraged by this expectation of the Lord's coming again for us, we need to be clear about what this entails. And this passage tells us clearly that when the Lord comes again, He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And then first of all, believers who have already died will rise first with Christ, obviously with new resurrected bodies in glory. And then those believers who are alive at the time of Christ's coming will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, also with resurrection bodies, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. What a great meeting and reunion, not only with Christ, but also with loved ones. If we are believers who are still alive, wouldn't that be something to look forward to? What a great day it will be, not having to pass through physical death, but taken up, raptured to be with Christ in the air, together with all the saints that have gone on before us. That would truly be the best thing that can ever happen. And indeed, it is the next big thing in salvation history, since the last major eschatological event, that is an event relating to the end times, which is Pentecost, that inaugurated the church age. Continuing in the very next chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 1, it says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." Now, did you notice that phrase there in chapter 5, verse 2? The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, that is a term used to describe the period of judgment that will follow immediately after the Lord comes to take away His church at the rapture. Therefore, the rapture wraps up the age of the church, or the day of grace, and at the same time triggers off that most dreadful period known as the tribulation, which begins the day of the Lord as the day of judgment. But this is what every New Testament believer in Christ should look forward to most, as the time of the great reunion with Christ together with all believers. There are two important marks or characteristics that we should take note concerning this Christian hope. First, it is imminent. That is to say, it can come any time, and that does not necessarily mean that it has to be immediate. The phrase used in the verse, "like a thief in the night," indicates that there are no preconditions or events to be fulfilled before Jesus comes for the church, unlike His second coming, which is later, in order to rule and establish His kingdom on the earth. The second important point to note about this Christian hope is that it is certain. In other words, it is a sure and a glorious hope. In the book of Titus, in chapter 2, verse 13, we read this, "Looking for the blessed hope," that's a reference to the rapture of the church, "and the glorious appearing," and that is a reference to the second coming of Christ to rule and to establish His kingdom on the earth. So looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, whatever happens around us or to us, there will be this day to look forward to with confident anticipation so that we do not lose heart or lose hope. It is always easier to lift our spirits when we can look forward to a better and a brighter day, which is sure to come. And times of discouragement make this hope more real and desirable for us. When things are dark or they're down, think and say to yourself, "The Lord is coming." Think of a little boy who is eagerly anticipating the return of his dad after a long trip overseas. However hard things may have been, the sheer anticipation of meeting dad once more soon will banish all fears and supersede all apprehensions that he may have had. In our modern lives and society, which are so fixated on living for the present, it is often difficult to live in the light of eternity and maintain this balance between the future and the now. But it's something that we all have to grow into to become more heavenly minded, even as we grow older in our earthly sojourn. And if we truly catch this excitement and encouragement for ourselves, we will be in a better position to comfort and to encourage one another with these words, as we have been exhorted in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. So there we have the great motivation to be encouraging to others. It's the confident expectation of the Lord's return. The second aspect of what it means to be encouraging is the meaning. What exactly does this involve? We read of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, continuing from where we have stopped. Beginning from verse 5 of chapter 5, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Verse 9, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." So we have a similar pattern as for the last point, that right at the end of this section, in chapter 5, verse 11, we have a phrase starting like this: "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." In the light of all the preceding verses, therefore, we should comfort or encourage each other. To encourage is to edify or to build up. And in particular, we are edifying and building up people rather than programs. We should leave behind us a constructive trail. We should not be like typhoons or hurricanes, leaving behind us a trail of destruction, full of casualties and torn down houses and buildings. Encouragers always leave behind them a trail of construction instead of destruction. Now, what does this passage tell us about how we should do this? What is the real spiritual meaning of encouraging one another or to edify one another? Well, it began by saying in verse 5 that we are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So to be an encourager, we need to be alert and awake and not asleep. And to be a strong spiritual builder, we therefore need to be holy and sanctified. That is what it means to be sons of light and sons of the day, to be living and walking in the light of His truth. There are no shortcuts to this. This is the only way that we can be a channel of blessing to others and to be a river of life to all around us. Or to use a different set of analogies, we should be a thermostat rather than a thermometer. Do you know the difference between them? A thermostat regulates the temperature. So you have a thermostat in the air conditioner, which controls or regulates the temperature when it goes up or down, so that the temperature to which it is set is achieved. But a thermometer simply reads the temperature, that's all. It shows you and tells you what the temperature of the room is without the ability to control or change it. The meaning of being an encourager to others is to be a thermostat rather than a thermometer, so that your presence makes a difference. If you're holy in your walk with God, you bring the holiness of God with you wherever you are and bring the presence of God to bear in every situation and company of people. In group dynamics, the presence of just one encourager or discourager is enough to tilt the balance and influence the mood and decision for better or for worse. And the best biblical example and demonstration of that principle at work is when Moses sent the 12 representative leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel to spy out the land in Canaan. And when they returned, only 2 out of the 12, in the persons of Caleb and Joshua, gave a positive report and said, "Let's go up at once, we are well able to overcome them." Whereas the other 10 said that the inhabitants of the land were like giants and they are going to be too big for us to handle. And therefore, they discouraged the hearts of the rest of the people. And because of that, they were delayed in entering and possessing the promised land for another 40 years and lost an entire generation as a result of it. Remember, the cost of discouragement is more than meets the eye. The loss, and especially the spiritual loss, can be great indeed, as was the experience of the children of Israel. The third aspect of what it means to be encouraging is also found in our same passage here, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading on from verse 16 through to 18. And this is about the means, the nuts and bolts. How do we actually get round to encouraging others? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. 17. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, in these three short and sharp verses, we have given to us three practical ways to increase your encouragement quotient, or EQ, if you like. These are the three principal characteristics of an encourager. Firstly, in verse 16, they are always joyful. This is an aspect that relates toward others. As you are reminded in the Old Testament verse, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you want to be encouraging toward others, be always joyful. Secondly, it is to be always prayerful. This is what verse 17 tells us. And this is towards God. Pray without ceasing, because the source of encouragement is not from our own resources or our own strength. We have the ability to strengthen and to encourage others only insofar as we continue to be strengthened and encouraged by the Lord. And the way to keep plugged in to the Lord, to be spiritually in contact with the throne of God, is through prayer. This is a side of you that others do not see. It's between you and God. What other people see is the first aspect, always joyful, and they think this has something to do with your natural temperament. Whereas true joy in the Lord has nothing to do with temperament, but everything to do with communion with God. You can be always joyful, not because you are the happy-go-lucky type, because even natural happiness can only go so far and do so much before it runs dry. But true joy that is based on and has its source in the Lord will never run dry, because its spring or its source never can run dry. And the third way to be encouraging to others is to be always thankful. This is given to us in verse 18, and this is exercised mainly toward ourselves. It's an attitude that we choose to hold, which does us infinite good. It says in verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is one of the general statements concerning the will of God for you, for every one of us. And if we would take this more literally and seriously, we would find more cause to be thankful and less cause to be complaining in all that we go through. There will literally be less discouragement and far more encouragement. And it's God's will for His people to be encouraged, not to be discouraged. But He gives us practical means of grace for attaining this. And this is one example. Friend, did you realize that it is God's will for you to give thanks in everything? Well, if you are discouraged right now, perhaps you should just try to stop doing anything else and do this one thing. And you can't go wrong if you do the will of God for you. So stop right now where you are, what you're doing, and give thanks to Him in everything, including that situation that you are finding yourself in right now. But in trying to exercise the ministry of encouragement toward others, this is the thing that keeps us going from getting bitter and disappointed ourselves when at times you seem to be fighting a losing battle in trying to raise the spirits of others. Keep thankful so that you keep your spirit sweet and strong. Never allow it to turn sour or bitter. And if you would consider what it would be like on the opposite, you'll find that it is impossible to build or to encourage others if you are one of these things. For example, if you are moody instead of being always joyful. Well, if you find yourself being caught in such a state, don't hide it. Get rid of it. How can you encourage others or make them more joyful if you are moody? Unless, of course, your name is D.L. Moody, that great, irrepressible, exuberant 19th century American evangelist. Then consider, how can you encourage others if you are full of self-pity? Instead of looking towards God in prayer, you are looking at the wrong place, inwardly, in yourself. You won't find any more resources there to help. The cupboard is just bare. And then thirdly, consider how it's impossible to build or to encourage others if you are grumpy yourselves, instead of being always thankful. So find something good that you can honestly say or talk about, instead of constantly dwelling on the negative or complaining about the deficient all the time. So those are the three ways, the means to be encouraging to others. Be always joyful, always prayerful, and always thankful. And I hope we have been encouraged and refreshed by God's presence and reached and touched by His wonderful word.
Are you going through a period of discouragement? Remember, Jesus is coming again. Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words. Thank you for that, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow for part 4 of The Power of Encouragement. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can contact us. You can send us a text message, 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And Times Refreshing has its own Facebook page, and there you can get the latest updates. You can socialize with some of the other folks there. And you can also give us your views right on our very own Facebook page. And I also invite you to visit our website at www.timesofrefreshing.asia to listen to the program online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that will allow you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.